Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. Good morning.
Hey, I'm not sure you rate wins and losses in terms of fun and value and all that sort of stuff, but if you did, where would last night's win rank in Tom Brady's litany of games you played and won?
Well, it was pretty, it was a great win. It was, you know, we couldn't really have, anyone couldn't really have expected the way that one would go. It was pretty sweet. So we really got off to such a poor start and then stormed back and then kind of played a little bit of defensive football there in the fourth quarter and in overtime and got a good break there at the end. So it was a great team win. Everybody contributed. You know, we have a pretty mentally tough team and that's what it took last night. So, you know, we'll enjoy it and then we got to get back to work because, you know, that's the way it is in the NFL.
Bill Parcells has famously said, if you give a team, if you give a player an excuse to fail, more often than not, they will seize upon that. That doesn't seem to apply to this football team because at halftime you could have said, well, it's not our night. It's awful. It's 24-0. It's not going to happen. This team does not allow itself to do that, correct?
No, I mean, we had 200 yards offense at halftime, so it wasn't like, you know, we had 70 yards offense and we weren't doing anything. It's just, you know, you make those critical errors of fumbling the ball and putting the ball on the ground like we did, then, you know, we're not going to score a lot of points, so. We knew if we took better care of the ball, then we'd have a better chance. And it was just, you know, weather played a factor. So, you know, we punted to them before halftime. Ended up being a turnover. We didn't do anything with it, you know. And then late there in the game, you know, it's just tough to field some of those plays. And we got a few bounces, and that was you know, really a great way to win the game. So it was a tough battle. I think those two good football teams and. Obviously could have gone either way, but I'm glad it went our way.
As much as you are comfortable in doing so, can you tell us what was said at halftime and how was the message delivered? Was it delivered businesslike? Was it delivered profanely or somewhere in between?
Well, it's, you know, I think we always take our cue from Coach Belichick as a team. And, I mean, there wasn't much to be said, truthfully, because we had done nothing. It wasn't like there was a bunch of adjustments. It's, you know, we kind of thought the game, they played the game the way that we thought they would play it, and we just weren't doing anything to execute. So we just talked about, you know, making some good plays and seeing if that could turn into something. And it turned into one touchdown, and it turned into two touchdowns, and then turned into a field goal, and then, you know, it was another touchdown. So it was just, you know, we got the ball rolling, and then that's what we needed at that point.
I know you don't have much time at halftime, but I assume there's always some X's and O's talk. Is there also, in a game like that, is there also the, you know, the Herman Boom, the Remember the Titans element to this halftime? Is somebody, you know, not only kicking over the Gatorade table, but is someone raising his voice in that room as well as breaking out the board and showing you what you got to do strategically?
Well, I think there's always a little bit of both. And we have great leadership from, you know, some our veteran players and our captains who, you know, say the right things when it's appropriate. You know, sometimes you feel like you're already squeezing tight and the worst thing you want to do is go and squeeze tighter.
Right.
You know, and some of it is, look, we just got to go out and actually loosen the reins and just start playing the way we're capable. So, it varies from time to time. Unfortunately, we've been in that situation. If you play long enough, you're going to be in that situation, you know, a bunch of times where you come in and you haven't played a good half. Same thing really happened against Miami. And we came out in the third quarter and played a lot better. So it's, you know, we got to start playing 60 minutes of good football. That's what it's ultimately going to take. I mean, you can't play 30 minutes against a good team and expect to win. So, you know, we're going to try to learn from it and make our improvements and get better and, you know, but it was nice that all three phases really contributed, and that's a key part. At different times in the game, you know, when you play another good team, they're going to make their fair share of plays too. So you just kind of weather that, and when you get your opportunity, you try to take advantage of it, and, you know, that's what you try to do.
Were you surprised, Tom, when your coach deferred and gave the ball to Peyton Manning in overtime?
Well, Well, based on the way it had gone there, you know, going that direction toward the lighthouse, as it kind of typically does in Foxborough, it's, you know, he decided to take the win, which, you know, it's a little bit different now in that both teams actually are most likely to touch the ball in overtime, you know, before they change their overtime rule, especially in that situation where, you know, they got to go a long distance to score a touchdown going into the win. So I thought it was a great move. You know, I wish we'd have done something on offense to help us out a little bit more, but, you know, the defense made the biggest play of the game and ended up setting us up there for the game-winning field goal.
If you're watching on TV, you had some idea, but you were on the field. How big a factor was that win? Because for you guys offensively, you were able to move up and down the field even, you know, going into the win last night.
Yeah, we did. You know, at different times it got pretty gusty. It was in pregame and first quarter, second quarter. You know, I threw a ball before halftime on a kind of a jump ball that I thought would be in the middle of the end zone. It ended up in the, I don't know, 5, 10-yard line, 8-yard line, something like that. So when it gusted, and you know, you got to try to take that into consideration when you're making some of the throws and plays. And as the game went on, it died down a little bit. It was still a factor in the kicking game. You know, we were booting the ball out of the back of the end zone every time we were kicking in that direction. So it always plays a factor here in Foxborough in the conditions, because we practice doing it. We practice in them. You know, we always feel like it can play to our advantage if, you know, we played with some mental toughness, and we did. And, you know, it turned out to be, really a great night for our team.
Tom, do your mechanics change in conditions like that? Is there something you can do to adjust to spin it a little more tightly, or you just do what you normally do?
I do what I normally do. I'm sure probably most guys do what they normally do. It's hard to, you know, I've probably thrown a football a couple hundred thousand times, you know, maybe more than that. So, you know, you really can't change much for one night or change your grip or, you know, it's kind of like doing anything in the wind. I mean, if you play golf in the wind, if you hit a really good shot, you know, it typically ends up being pretty good. If you miss it, it turns out real bad, which
right.
I'm most familiar with. So, you know, that's kind of what it's like when you play in those type of conditions.
Hey, given your druthers, would you rather play in brutal cold and wind or brutal heat?
Cold for me.
Really?
You know, I'm sure, yeah, different people have the preferences. And probably because, you know, I went to school in Michigan. We've always played in cold weather. You know, I've been here for 14 years and always been in cold weather. You know, even our training camps are never very hot. So I would say that the cold weather is probably best suits me. It slows down. It actually gets everyone more to my speed, which is a little bit slower, which I love. I think I can always take advantage of that a little bit.
Well, ESPN just tweeted this stat out. And since 2003, Tom Brady, in temperatures under freezing, is 23-5. Peyton Manning is 1-6. I always wonder this, though, Tom. They all say, the announcers will say, yeah, Brady likes the cold. You don't really like it, though, do you, if you had your choice? Wouldn't you like, you know, room temperature?
It depends who you're playing and what their style is.
Really?
Because you're playing another team that, you know, is a passing team, and, you know, they got to deal with it as much as we have to deal with it. So, you know, I think sometimes it all depends on the matchup and the advantage you have to play to. So, you know, we've been pretty good in bad weather conditions, you know, for as long as I got here. I think the biggest reason is because, you know, Coach Belichick walks in every day and he says, I don't give a crap, you know, what the weather is. Get out there. We're practicing outside. And, yeah, that's what he does. And we go, all right, you know, and it could be 40-mile-an-hour winds. It could be downpours. It could be 3 inches of snow. We're out there on our practice fields practicing. So it's pretty rare that we go in the bubble. And, you know, I think challenging our mental toughness is as important as anything.
What do you say to a Stephen Ridley right now, Tom, when he's in this spot? I mean, is it just something he's going to have to work out himself, or is it something that you or somebody else can talk to and fix? It just seems like he's... This is 9 fumbles, I think, since the start of last year.
Well, we have, you know, we got a lot of confidence in him, and you know, I know it sucks for him, you know, that he makes some really good runs to start the game, and then it gets knocked out. So it's just part of, you know, the learning experience, and you know, you just keep going with it. You just keep getting cracks at it and keep working hard at it. And he'll work hard. He's a tough kid. He's a fighter. So, you know, we're going to need him down the stretch. And, you know, we're all going to make mistakes, and we all got to be prepared to overcome them too. So, that's what we're going to need. We're going to need everybody.
You feel bad for Wes this morning, Tom?
Well, I thought he played good out there. I mean, that was, he always seems to do his job pretty well. So, I thought he always plays good. I mean, I've watched him all season, and he's made a lot of big plays for that team. So, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league. No one's feeling sorry for the Broncos. They're 9-2. You know, they control the fate of their season. You know, I don't think there's anything more than you can ask of that. And, you know, I'm sure they'll take some positives from this game too. You know, this game really won't have an effect on, you know, what happens going forward. So, you know, both of our seasons are still ahead of us. You know, they're one of the best teams, so they're going to be in it. And, you know, hopefully we can make some improvements, play better than we played, and, you know, go out there and execute this weekend, you know, down in Houston.
After the Ridley fumble, Von Miller said he's glad you didn't lay him out with that hit that you almost got him with, that you sort of whiffed on. linebacking is not in your future, Tom, I would guess.
No. Believe me, I was never a defensive player for that reason. So quickness and agility is not always my thing outside of the pocket. And he kind of cut back there, and, I was screwed. So I wish I could have got him down. I didn't get a chance to. He was, you know, he's a pretty athletic guy.
Hey, you mentioned Michigan, your alma mater. We Kent State alums smiled at Julian's performance last night. You've often said Wes Welker is the toughest, most clutch performer you've ever played with. Is Edelman starting to work his way into that conversation, Tom?
Well, I tell you, this year has just been a totally different Julian Edelman, in the sense that of his responsibility and what the team does for him and how it counts on him. So, you know, he really stepped into a role where he was the most veteran receiver at his position, the most veteran, you know, skill player based on the running backs, the tight ends, and the receivers that we have. So, you know, he's playing with confidence, as he should, because, you know, last year he got off to a good start, then hurt himself, and really fought hard this offseason and to get back to playing the way that, you know, we needed him to play. And, you know, I'm just happy for him. He's my locker mate. I mean, I'm with him all the time, and he's, you know, he just does whatever the teams ask. So that's the best part about Jules.
Third and goal at the 6, Brady to Gronkowski, touchdown, 24-21. That's 21 answered points with 19 seconds left in the third quarter. You and Gronk seem to have a little party at the middle of the field. Can you relate what was said between you and Gronk?
I'll have to see the highlights. I was pretty fired up.
So. You were fired up.
You know, he's pretty fired up too, so we both get excited when we score. I mean, he scored as much as any tight end that's ever played, so he's got all those celebrations and his dances and his spikes and all that, and, you know, I just kind of go over there, and I was pretty pumped up because we fought our way back there in the third quarter going against the wind, which was pretty cool for us to do, and then, you know, I had the whole fourth quarter ahead of us, and, you know, I had a chance to really make some plays there in the fourth quarter I wish we would have made, but, you know, it all turned out fine in the end.
You have a 3-game lead in the division, Tom, the only team with a winning record. Does the goal, with 5 to play, by the way, is the goal to get that first round bye? I mean, can you say that now, that your goal now is to get the first round bye, maybe get a second round home game in the playoffs?
You know, I think we're such short-term focus, and things can change so quickly. You know, you never know what's going to happen here in the NFL. And, you know, for us, we got to prepare, you know, for one game, and that's all you can think about. And everything else takes care of itself. So, you know, we go down to Houston. They had one of the best teams in the league last year. You know, they're obviously struggling this year, but on any Sunday in the NFL, teams are capable of winning. So, you know, we got to go down there and see if we can get to 9-3, because, you know, that'll put us in an even better position than we're in today. So no one really cares about the position we'll be in 6 weeks. We got to think about what we got to do this week.
I couldn't tell on TV, Tom. It looked like you might have disagreed with the ref on that throw to Tompkins in overtime. It seemed like
I mean, everyone sees it. It's just, I don't, I don't know.
No, feel free to expand.
Do you know what pass interference is?
Well, I know what holding and pass interference is. I mean, I see the whole thing, so I just, you know, I stand there and watch like everybody else, you know, and it's frustrating, but, that's football, I guess. Sometimes you get the call, sometimes you don't. And look, the officials got a tough job. I mean, they're trying to make all the right calls too, and,
they're cold.
Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong, just like we as players sometimes get it right and wrong, so. When it goes right for you, you feel great, and you tell the ref, hey, great job, great call. And when it doesn't, you get pretty pissed, and I was pretty pissed.
You had a brief exchange with Peyton on the field after the game. Did anything along the lines of "We'll see you again in January" come up?
No, certainly not. And he's. I've been in a situation. I know I'm not in that great of a mood to talk, nor is he. So. Look, they're one of the best teams. Like I said, they're going to be in it. They got a great team, and they seems like they're playing better now, especially on defense than they played earlier in the year. And Von Miller's kind of back really helped that team out. So, if it falls that way at some point, then great. If it doesn't, we got a lot of stuff to do in the meantime.
Hey, Tom, who creates the line of scrimmage audible names during the week for a game on a Sunday night? The reason I ask is Cougar and Linda. What do those mean, and are they in any way related to each other?
Yeah, we got a lot of calls at the line of scrimmage, and, some are protection calls, some are there's mic calls where we're directing guys. We got run calls, we got pass calls, we got protection calls, we got, dummy calls, so. You just don't really get locked into one or two things. You try to keep it moving so the defense really never gets locked in on what you're doing. So we ended up using them all last night. And we do have a lot of communication at the line of scrimmage, and it turned out that we, with the microphones there, people hear them and stuff. My parents ask me that all the time, and what was this? What was that? And there's a lot going on up there.
You had the greatest audible call, though, with a minute and a half left in the third. Even Collinsworth was impressed when you yelled out "power," and it was some number like you were checking off to a run, and they bit on the play action. That one worked.
Yeah, that was a good one. We that kind of turned out how we were hoping. So Julian ran a great route. I had great protection, was able to hold it, and made a great running catch to get through the defense and make those plays. So that was great. And that was a big play in the game. That was a really big momentum play at that point.
Yeah, it was like the biggest play of the game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was going in, and we that was a touchdown drive to Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
Where we went up 21-24. So that was good to be able to capitalize, because we had some momentum, and then we got the ball defensively, and we got a good punt return, and then we made a big play, and That was so huge.
All right, we end with a hard-hitting quarterback question of the week brought to you by Crescent Credit Union. This is the quarterback question of the week. Thanksgiving plans, Mr. Brady. Where, when, who cooks? White meat, dark meat?
I'm not a cook, thankfully. So my wife, my sister will cook a little bit. And it'd just be nice to spend a day with the kids and watch some football and be a fan and It's a great holiday, because I mean, we've been at this for a long time, especially for a lot of us players and coaches, and Thanksgiving always falls right in the middle of the year, and it's an important time of the year. So you kind of step away from football for a little bit, but you also realize you're getting back to work the next morning and ready to go. So there's not three helpings of pumpkin pie or anything like that. Maybe I'm sure Bill will have a weigh in scheduled at some point for us before the game, so it regulates how many plates of turkey some guys have, but it'll be a great holiday.
Enjoy the holiday, Tom. Congratulations on the big win last night. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Thanks, guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
And to you as well.